Well, listen, at the end of our service last Sunday, we had a beautiful time. I think that's the best word. Somebody described it earlier in prayer. It's beautiful when the Holy Spirit moves. We had this beautiful time of seeking the Holy Spirit. Several people exercised their spiritual gifts with edifying exhortations and a message with tongues and interpretation. And I believe that this series on being Pentecostal, our priorities, is the very catalyst that God is using today to move us into a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? I'm so glad to be a part of this church in this season, in this moment of history. And so this morning, we conclude our series by turning our attention to spiritual songs, also known as singing in the Spirit. Our scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. I'm going to invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word. We're going to read the scripture together in one voice. The scripture is behind me on the screen. Let's read from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Ephesians chapter 5. And Father, our ears are open to what you want to speak to our hearts today. Father, in regards to the Holy Spirit, we pray that you would increase in our lives and that we would decrease. That is the prayer of John the Baptist. Lord, that's even your prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but yours be done. So Father, we pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit today to enable us to be edified and encouraged, to enable us to be full of the Holy Spirit, to demonstrate the evidence and the gifts in this place. Father, I pray that you enable us to sing with joy. You have done many mighty things for us. We are filled with joy in this place. If the Holy Spirit is resident within us, we have the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is joy. So let your joy be poured out over your people today, I pray. Let us be obedient to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Here are 10 natural benefits from singing. First is this: singing strengthens your immune system. Singing is a workout. Singing improves your posture. Singing helps with sleep, especially if you have sleep apnea or you snore. Singing is a natural antidepressant. Singing lowers stress levels. Singing improves mental alertness. It strengthens your memory. Singing can widen your social circles of friends. Singing boosts your confidence. Singing broadens your communication skills. It is good to sing. And if these are all the natural benefits, just imagine what the spiritual benefits are. Whether you're singing the soundtrack to the latest musical, The Greatest Showman, they sing it in my house all the time. From now on. I don't get it. Or some of you might like to sing in the shower. Any people sing in the shower? Oh, many of you. Look at you. Boy. Singing is just ingrained. It's ingrained in our culture. The lyrics are ingrained in our minds more than some of the things we even remember. We forget what we ate for breakfast yesterday, but we remember some songs. Up to this point, we have focused much on praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is an event in our lives. We've been praying in the Spirit, a lifestyle change. We've been using tongues and interpretation. This is this corporate exercise that we do when we gather together in this place. Not only does the Bible encourage us to pray in the Spirit, but the Bible commands us to sing in the Spirit. I'm aware that too many Christians have stopped singing. Isn't that true? With the retirement of those hymnals in the front of the pew, Christians have become more musically illiterate. And without music literacy, Christians are becoming more apathetic towards singing. We've become spectators and we just sit back and watch the performance happen in front of us. That is not worship, my friends. Donald Husted once said, somehow about 40% of churchgoers seem to have picked up the idea that singing in church is for singers. The truth is that singing is for believers. And the relevant question is not, do you have a voice, but do you have a song? I hope you have a song in your heart this morning. See, singing is not conditional on whether you have a good voice or a bad voice. All Christians sing. We are a singing people. It's part of our DNA. Because of what God has done for us, we have good reason to sing. We have good reason to celebrate the goodness of our God. The real question is, with or without a microphone? That's another story. So this morning, I want to encourage you to get your voice back. Redeem your voice and obey the biblical command to sing to the Lord and to sing in the Spirit. First point this morning is filled with the Spirit. And this is just going back to 101. We are filled with the Spirit. Verses 15 to 18. Scripture says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The section is filled with a list of do's and don'ts. Some of us like those things. If we have an ordered life, we like the parameters. But others of us, we feel uncomfortable because somebody is setting limitations over our behavior. The Apostle Paul, he challenges the Ephesians to do one thing. Evaluate your lifestyle. Ephesian believers here today, I want you to evaluate your lifestyle. What kind of decisions are you making? Are they wise or are they unwise? Are you making the most of every opportunity that God has entrusted to you for good or for evil? Do you understand what the Lord's will is for your life? Yes or no? What overflows out of you is characteristic of what has filled you. And that's the way you think, the way you speak, even the way you sing. So Paul contrasts being drunk with wine with being filled with the Spirit. And the comment about drunkenness recalls Acts chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, where Peter defended the experience of the 120 believers, both men and women in the upper room, who were filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and he raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. This is for them. And this is for us. The Christian lifestyle is one of being marked and filled with the Holy Spirit. But this does not somehow magically happen in our lives. You cannot be careful of how you live without great intentionality. So life in the Spirit is a daily decision. My question to you, my friends, today is, are you living life in the Spirit? Are you living life in the Spirit sometimes? Are you living life in the Spirit only on Sundays? Or are you living life in the Spirit continually? Paul challenged the Ephesians towards greater spiritual vitality. That's a word we use around here. It's about having a Holy Spirit-led life. And he challenges these Ephesians to move beyond believing what Christians believe and to start behaving the way Christians ought to behave. The shift from merely believing to authentically behaving is the work of the Holy Spirit, the product of being filled with the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit resident and regenerating and shaping and sanctifying us, making us more and more like Jesus. The Holy Spirit is not narrowly focused on behavior modification. This is not no pop psychology, but it's widely focused on life transformation. That's what the Holy Spirit does best. So friends, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit for yourself. It's not just for your own benefit. You are filled with the Spirit in order to grow your relationship with others. It starts with our relationship with God. Yes, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 20. But then it continues to impact all of the relationships in our lives. It impacts our spouse, in our kids, in our household. It impacts our relationship with our boss or our staff in the workplace. In accordance with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, all the way to chapter 6, verse 9. What the Spirit does inside of you individually is meant to change your sphere of influence. And then what the Spirit does inside of us corporately, friends, is meant to change the world. How do we change the world? It's God's Spirit alive in each and every one of us, working together for the common good, preaching the gospel, making His name famous throughout the world. You and I can't do anything apart from the Holy Spirit. I know that sometimes that doesn't seem to be true in our lives. We think we can do everything in our own strength. But do you know that in Him you live, move, and have your being? You can't do anything without the Holy Spirit. So to sing without the Spirit would be to offer lip service and dead works to God. It is worth a big goose egg. Zero. And so with this foundation in mind today, let's consider worship as a lifestyle that is led by the Holy Spirit. Second point this morning, songs from the Word. Songs from the Word of God. Verses 18, the latter half, and verses 19, the first half, tell us, instead be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms and with hymns. And I stop there and I pause there intentionally. Our singing, I don't know if you realize it or not, our singing has a horizontal dimension. Since we've been taught to sing for the audience of one, we find it very difficult to sing as a way to edify all people that are around us, especially if you don't have a good voice. See, when you sing, people are listening. People are receiving what you sing. They hear the lyrics. They hear the melody. They hear the harmony. It's beautiful. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, more specifically describes this as teaching and admonishing one another. This is what happens when we sing. When you hear me sing, I'm teaching you and I am admonishing you. And then when you sing, you are teaching me and you are admonishing me through song. So we must never forget 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. This is a pivotal scripture, friends. You should memorize this one. It's good. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. All scripture is what? God-breathed. And since scripture is God-breathed, then it is also Spirit-inspired. And so those filled with the Spirit must sing Spirit-inspired scriptures. Don't be fooled into thinking that the Psalms and the hymns are not Spirit-filled songs, and that songs from the Spirit are the most important songs to sing. They're all valuable. One of the checks and balances we must have in our lives, a question we should ask ourselves is, are the songs we sing actually scripturally grounded? Do they come out of a Bible verse? Do they have substance, theological substance, biblical substance to them? Because if they don't, we should probably discard it and not sing it. We must consider the weight of the lyrics we sing. Lyrics not rooted in biblical truth will lead us down the slippery slope of emotionalism. Feeling good about ourselves. Self-help songs. One of my professors from seminary, Dr. Van Johnson, he once said, what Pentecostals sing becomes what they believe and reaffirms their theology, what they believe about God. Caution to all worship leaders as they influence one's theologizing. Caution. Those who lead us in song have a weighty responsibility upon their shoulders because they're putting words in our mouths. They're leading us to sing about our God. In one of my previous sermons in a series called Worship Matters, I shared with you two simple principles. It's two principles for worship. The first is this. It's called a regulative principle. This idea is that we use elements that Scripture explicitly prescribes for worship. If Scripture says it, we do it. If Scripture doesn't say it, we don't do it. And then there's this other principle at work called the normative principle. We will use any elements that Scripture does not prohibit for worship. So if Scripture is not clear and says, don't do this, then it's possible that we could use it for God's glory. Pentecostals are known for following that normative principle, while many other denominations use that regulative principle. And the first two categories of songs in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 19 are often used to defend this principle, this regulative principle, prescribing specific songs like psalms and hymns that are to be sung in the church. Let's look at singing psalms. It's important that we sing psalms. The Word of God helps us to sing old songs. Can the older generation say amen? That's your cue. You should say amen. I know some of you are saying, hey, well, you don't like singing psalms. You like singing hymns. We'll get to that. The Word of God helps us to sing old songs. There is a place for singing older songs in every congregation. And just as this current generation considers hymns as old songs, you can imagine that the early church considered the Psalms as old songs. There are some churches who still practice singing metrical psalms, a worship practice in which they sing the psalms. They become the sole lyrics for all the songs sung in a church in order to reduce the chance of singing these theological errors where it's all about me, it's all about me, it's all about Jesus. The 150 Psalms become the primary database for all the songs of worship. And one psalm with the same lyrics can be sung in multiple different ways, multiple tunes. When was the last time you sang a psalm? For some of our seniors, perhaps it's been a while, but for many of us, likely never before. And while we do not limit ourselves then to the regulative principle, I do believe that Christian songwriters of our generation need to do a better job of drawing from the Old Testament Psalms again as they compose new songs for this generation. We need scripture-based songs. The Psalms are the songbook of the Old Testament. We need to draw from there. Secondly, we need to sing hymns. Okay, I'm going to try it again. All the seniors said, amen. Listen, you can't complain to me later and when I'm preaching good, okay? I'm just giving you your moment. We're working together here. Psalm 40, verse 3 testifies, he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to God. The Word of God inspires us to sing new songs. There is a place for singing newer songs in every congregation. And while hymns seem old to some of us, hymns were the very contemporary choruses of the early church. Now, when I say that, I need to make a disclaimer. It's not the hymns that you think of. It is not Amazing Grace. It's not It Is Well. It's not Great Is Thy Faithfulness. They weren't singing those songs, those hymns. These are not the famous ones of the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries. They were hymns of New Testament scripture. So when you say hymns, we might be talking about two different things. In a parallel passage, Colossians 3:16 again instructs, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. A hymn is a composition in which Jesus Christ is the subject of the song. Nothing but Jesus. And the intent is to describe who he is and what he has done. There are three Christ hymns. There might be more, but three specific big Christ hymns in the New Testament. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 11. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You can look at those at another time. Talk all about Jesus. They're so rich in their Christology, their theology about Jesus. The themes are biblical. They're surrounding the incarnation. They surround the crucifixion. They surround the resurrection and the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are also various doxologies throughout the New Testament that could be sung. And I think this could be categorized within the hymns. The Apostle Paul provides us with numerous scriptures. Romans 11, 33 to 36. Romans 16, 25 to 27. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. I got to keep on going here. 1 Timothy 1, 17. Chapter 6, 15 to 16. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22 to 23, 23 to 24. And likely Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. Then the Apostle Peter provides us with 2 Peter 3:18. Jude provides us with verses 24 to 25 of his epistle. And the Apostle John provides us with Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. There is no lack of content, is there? Each of them agree that there's something worthy, something hymnic that should be sung regarding Jesus Christ. Very few of our songs today are based on these biblical Christ hymns and doxologies. And I think that's to our injustice. That's we haven't done a good job. It's our failure. And while, we don't limit ourselves to that regulative principle, I do believe that Christian songwriters of this generation need to do a better job of drawing from New Testament Christ hymns and doxologies as they compose new songs for churches like ours. Amen. See, the point Paul is making is that we sing psalms and hymns whenever we sing songs that are grounded in the scriptures. By doing this, the Holy Spirit always receives the royalties for each inspired composition. See, the Holy Spirit is the composer. We're just the vessel. We're just the instrument. And this is the beautiful partnership that exists between the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Third point this morning, songs from the Spirit. The latter half of verse 19 all the way into verse 20, I add sing. Sing songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, and always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love John chapter 4, verse 24, where Jesus declared to the Samaritan woman at the well, God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. Psalms and hymns are the truth to our worship, but spiritual songs are the spirit to our worship. Over the past 5 weeks, I've been building the case that everything concerning our spiritual vitality must be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. While the first two categories of psalms and hymns, Ephesians chapter 5, 19, encourage singing scripture songs, this third category, singing from the Spirit, encourage us to sing scripture, to sing spirit-oriented songs, spirit-inspired songs. Those who are filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, don't need to be limited to just praying in tongues. They can now sing in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:15 gives us the options. You have options. Isn't that nice? God gives you options, both options for praying, options for singing. Scripture says, so what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Both are viable forms of communicating with God. You can switch in and out whenever you want. You have options. Our singing then has a vertical dimension. It is to God. From verse 19 to 20, there is the shift, a shift from speaking to one another to now finally speaking to God. Instead of teaching and admonishing one another using our human tongues, we give thanks to God the Father in unknown tongues. We're prone to forgetting that the Holy Spirit is the same creator spirit of creation. And that's a thought. The Spirit was hovering, brewing over the waters of creation. So is that same Spirit alive in you and I, creating new things in us. Instead of, we have to be open to the Holy Spirit. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit using us. Songs from the Word of God are concrete, but songs from the Spirit of God are creative, and we must learn to appreciate all the diversity. It's the same Spirit behind both. Consider one as scripted, while the other is spontaneous. Therefore, I think it's really helpful for us to consider the Holy Spirit as a creative artist. A creative, a person who creates things and generates things using their imagination, using their creative abilities. They create new things. Stephen R. Guthrie, in his book Creative Spirit, explains, there is a distinctly artistic character to the Spirit's work, making and remaking, perfecting and forming. This is what the Spirit does. Friends, you and I are instruments in the hands of the Holy Spirit. How do you know when to pray? How do you know when to sing? James teaches us that in every human experience that we face, there is an appropriate spiritual reaction. It's kind of like a cause and effect sort of thing. James chapter 5, verse 13 tells us, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. See, our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit in the midst of the situation that we're facing can dictate whether we choose to pray in the Spirit or sing in the Spirit or do both. Friends, today singing with understanding is just as important as praying with understanding. Singing in the Spirit is just as important as praying in the Spirit. My prayer for us as a church is this. Let's learn how to do it all. Let's learn how to be flexible. Let's learn how to be led by the Spirit. Let's be obedient to the Word of God, to seek the things that He tells us to seek, because it's in His Word and He is not a liar. So I pray that you take this teaching, you apply it to your life. We invite the worship team to come back and prepare this morning. Again, last Sunday, I was just so encouraged by the Spirit in this place. You all responded to the Holy Spirit with open hearts and people came and there's these encouraging moments. And if you missed the service, you can listen to it online. In fact, you can listen to every message in this series online and you can catch up. It'll tell you all about what this traffic light means because some of you are wondering that if you're new with us. But once again, I think it is so important for us as a church to learn how to practice what is preached. We need to be obedient and not delayed obedience. We need immediate obedience. We need to create moments where we seek God together as a church family because we can get in the rut of coming here quickly and leaving here quickly and getting on to more important things that seem to be on our priority list. My prayer is that you and I will cultivate a lifestyle in which a culture in this church in which we continue to seek the moving of the Holy Spirit. And I hope you can look back over the past 4 or 5 weeks and you can see moments where you saw the Holy Spirit at work in this place, in this church.